Well, it may be cool outside, but I believe it's going to be warm in here in our hearts, right? Well, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together. And Lord, we want to gather today, Lord, in your love. We want to gather today, Lord, in your unrelentless love. Lord, your chasing love. Lord, your overcoming love, Lord. We want to gather together. And we pray, Lord, that there would just be a unity of hearts and spirits, Lord, that you would command a blessing, Lord, in this place. Father, we just thank you that you are ours and we are yours, and that nothing separates us from that love. Nothing can hold us back from your love, Lord. So we choose you today afresh and anew in our lives. We choose your love. We choose your life, Lord, over ours. And we thank you, God, that you're going to do above and beyond, Lord, all we ask and think in our lives. We just bless the name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace. Thank you, Jesus.
Joy comes in the morning, and alive down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. Soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God.
Makes us whole.
You shoulder our weakness. Your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you. Clothing me in white. Bringing beauty for ashes. So you will have your bride. Free of all her guilt. And rid of all her shame. Known by her true name. And that's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. You will be praised. You will be praised. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. That's why I sing your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips.
Call me deeper still as you call.
desire you, Lord. All the other things we could choose today, Lord, we desire you. We choose you. Thank you, Jesus. You're all we want, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Hopi, for stepping in. Your voice was starting to really go, huh? Are you going to be able to talk?
We'll see.
We'll see, huh? Well, praise the Lord. Oops. Sorry, Jess. So last week, I think we were talking about the Father drawing us, right?
Yes.
This week we're going to talk about being taught by God, which is a truth that's in the Bible, but you don't hear about it that often. Because most teachers like to teach and mentor and mold and shape people, but really our greatest teacher is God and the Holy Spirit, and we'll hopefully learn that today. So are you open to reading, or do you want me to read? Okay, I'll read.
Sorry.
So what we're doing is good morning. We're going through the book of John, and obviously it's I think this is we're into our second year now, right?
Yeah.
Second year, and we're in chapter six.
Yeah.
Of course, we've had times where we, you know, have had other messages, of course, as the Lord has put them on our hearts and other people share. But the concept is that, you know, to realize, you know, how much just the word itself can speak. And, you know, I go back to when we started doing John chapter 1 and the truths that were revealed for those of you that were here then. I mean, it was like, whoa. I mean, like John chapter 1 is like a foundation for tons of truth and doctrine or reality of what God says about us and who Jesus is. So we're all the way into John 6 now. And like I said last week, well, we'll read it here and then we'll go to today's verse. John 6, 37 through 47. Is that how much I'm going to read? Yeah, I guess so. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. You guys need to catch me there. This is the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So that's what we talked about last week, is the Father drawing us. And today's scriptures are John 45 through 47. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. So John 6:45 has a scripture, and of course it's following this whole thought that God is the one that's drawing, the Father is the one who's drawing people to Jesus, and that Jesus is God's bread that has come down from heaven. He is the life that has come down from heaven. He is God's impartation to mankind to bring us life and life eternal. And so Jesus then goes on to say, though, but it's also written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Now, I have a question for you. Who's all? When something says all in the Bible, what do you think? Do you include yourself? I usually do. When I see all, I think all is me. It's just as much as it was them at that time. You know, this was 2,000 years ago, so it's a little while back. But all includes us. So we all here, for those of you from the South, we all here can be taught by God. Now, does that mean that we don't receive from each other? I believe we do. I believe we all have something to offer each other. But I believe, in essence, we are all to be taught our individually selves by God. He's the one who knows us. I mean, have you ever had somebody try to teach you something and they don't know you and they're trying to get you to do something a certain way? Maybe they're showing you something, they're right-handed, you're left-handed, and they're showing you, hey, do it this way. It's like, well, dude, I can't do it that way. I'm not right-handed. You know? I mean, that's simple, but it can be that profound that, you know, someone thinks that they know how to do something. Well, it's the way that they see it and the way that they've done it and the way that they've learned it and the way that they've walked through it. But maybe for you, God needs to teach you something in a way that only you can get. And you can't even teach anybody else what you got because it's for you. And it's the way that he created you. He can teach you. So let's look into this a little bit more. In Isaiah 54:13, this is where that scripture comes from. And it's phrased a little bit differently. Jesus always had a way of taking scriptures, and I'm sure people classify it as this is specifically for this group of people because it sounds like it was to the Israelites. And he blanket statements and says, no, you'll all be taught by God. But it says, all your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Now, a Jew may say, well, this was just for Israelites. Right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody who maybe split hairs could say, you know, doesn't want to split hairs, wants to be precise, that scripture is only for the Israelites. But then I go back to 6:45, and Jesus says, and they all will be taught by God, which I want to include myself in that. So therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So I believe that if you're going to Jesus and you're being drawn to Jesus and Jesus is drawing in is somebody that you're seeking desire, the Father is the one who's been activating that. And he's the one who's been teaching you about Jesus or about the Holy Spirit. Micah 4:22. Let's go on here. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. So many nations, not just the Israelites, not just the Jews, not just his some people say they're his chosen people only. No, but many nations shall come and say, let's all go up to the mountain of the Lord, which is God's place of habitation. And, you know, the mountain of the Lord could be, as it says here, to the house of the God of Jacob. Now, some may say, well, that's the temple. It's where the temple was. But I believe it's also a spiritual representation of God's place, where God is. Where does God inhabit? Jesse has a question.
That's Micah 4:2.
What did I say? Micah 4:22?
Yeah.
Okay, good catch.
It's what?
Micah 4:22. I think what that was supposed to be is 4:2 and then verse 2, and I put them together. So thank you. Micah 4:2, for those who are following along somewhere on the internet and they're going, where? This isn't what it says. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. So where is the mountain of the Lord now for us? I mean, some would say, well, he's in heaven, right? That's where the mountain of the Lord, that's where his presence is. Or some would say, well, you know, let's go down to the local church. Oh, here we are. We're at a local church. We're at the mountain of the Lord. We're where God's presence is. Was that right?
No.
Is that correct? No. Where is God's presence? Everywhere. But in us, where is he? In our hearts. That's his habitation. When we go to the mountain of the Lord, come, let us go to the mountain. That's where we go. Father, reveal yourself to me. You know, we can all gather together here and we can come under his name and worship him and enjoy his presence together. But folks, we have a place that's the mountain of the Lord. It's his habitation and it's in us.
Yeah, just
he's
like
just a breath away.
Just like we said last week, where don't forsake assembling together because that's where you draw your encouragement from one another. We're able to love on one another and encourage each other. But truly, where you're going to be taught, where the presence of God is within each one of our very own beings.
Come on, yeah.
And that's where we're going to get life everlasting. Not from encouragement of going to church, hoping I'm going to get to hug Tara and hug Phyllis and, you know, say hey. And I mean, that's all good. But that's not where the life of God comes from. The life of God comes from within us, the treasure that he has placed within us.
Right. I want to make a t-shirt that says, where I am, there he, capital H, is. Wherever I am, there he is.
Right.
That I'm not away from him at any time. You know, whether I'm at church or I'm not at church, whether I'm in prayer or not in prayer, whether I'm focused on spiritual things or not, he's there. And he's a loving father. We heard about that. His love never fails. That's a reality. He's a good, good father. He's perfect in all of his ways. Those are all truths that we sang today. That's reality. And so we're not separated from him. There's no being separated from God. Ever. Isn't that good news? So if you're always being accompanied by him, you can always be taught by him. You can be taught by him at work. You can be taught by him for your relationships at home. It doesn't have to be churchy stuff. It doesn't have to be religious. It can be, you can be taught how to talk to your boss properly. Holy Spirit, you're my teacher. Teach me. Right?
Well, this week we did the funeral for our really good friend, Pat. And on the way there, we knew it was going to be a huge funeral. Like there was over 200 people there, and Mike was a little nervous. He's like, you know, I'm feeling, because it was one, she was our dear friend, and it was hitting really, really close to home. But two, you know, there's different people there. Like there were atheists there, and there were people that were, you know, in Catholicism, and people that, oh, God is God, you know. I mean, there were just so many diverse believers there, or even non-believers, that was like, how do you speak to all of them? And I on the way there, I said, it's the hope in us through Christ Jesus that we're able to portray that out. And it's the faith that she had that we are able to witness to. And so God did was take that word and in some way, I believe, touch every heart that desired to be touched or desired to be taught to learn about faith and to learn about love and to learn about how God cherishes one another. And so here's this diverse group of people, and many people came up and they were like, that was, you know, just because she had such a faith in God. She's like, God's my best friend. I talk to him every day. Well, she never went to church, ever, except as a little girl. She told me. She pointed out a building on a ride that we were on. She goes, see that little squatty building right there? I went to Vacation Bible School there. But she didn't go to church on Sundays. She worked on Sundays. But she loved God with all her heart. She talked to him every single day. Don't get so wrapped up in this world that you have to think that you have to go and sit under someone to be taught by God. God will teach you. And if you are being taught by someone and your spirit is not agreeing, it is your responsibility as a believer to go to the scriptures, search out, question and wonder, and let Holy Spirit teach you. Is that true? Or is that, you know, I mean, I expect that from you guys. Like if one of us says something a little wacky, go to your scripture and find out if that's true or not. I mean, I'm open to being wrong. I'm okay with that. Doesn't bother me a bit. In fact,
you mean you're not perfect?
Oh, heavens, no. But all I'm saying is that God teaches. God is the teacher. He is the one that breathed into every one of the books of the Bible. He breathed his word in there. That's our teacher. Through Holy Spirit, that's our teacher.
Amen. So come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Again, yes, the mountain of the Lord is in that time the place where the temple was, and the house of God, of the God of Jacob, was the temple. But we are the temple now, and we are the house of the Lord. So come, let us go. Come, let us focus on his habitation in us. And he'll teach us his ways. He will. He will instruct us. He will guide us. He will lead us. We do not have to be left as orphans trying to figure things out. And we will walk in his paths. I like that. We're going to walk in the paths, those steps that he has for us to walk in. For out of Zion, the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Here's another one in Psalms. This is three of the verses in Psalms. It's Psalms 25, 8, 9, and 12. So good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. So even sinners get taught in the way by God. So if you ever hear people say, well, sinners, God doesn't work with sinners. God, you know, because they're sinners, you know, and they're away from God. And, you know, and he you know, they got to come to him first before he works with them. That doesn't make any sense, does it? How do they know to come to him unless he's working in their lives? So he teaches sinners his way. I was taught his way. I was drawn to him when I was way, way from him. I didn't know him. I didn't.
None of us
didn't
would
have
be
any
here if that
clue.
Was true.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. So he teaches sinners in the way. And what is in the way? I believe he's teaching sinners to go, the way is Christ. But us, humble, he's guiding us into justice. And what is justice? Justice is justly living. Justly living so that we are in a place of righteousness.
Right standing.
Right standing with God. And he humbles, in the humble, he teaches his way. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. A little tongue twister there. So here we have Psalm 25, Psalm 32. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. I like that. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. So God's saying here, I'm going to instruct you and teach you in such a way that even my eye will tell you which way to go. Instead of being like a horse, okay, go this way, go that way. Whoa, Nelly. I mean, Holy Spirit's gentle, still, small voice in us guides us and leads us. So here's some stuff in the New Testament, John 14, 25 through 26. These things I have spoken to you while present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you some things. Right? Some things. No. Got to look at the screen. Can't let Pastor Mike lie to you. All things. Yeah, he's like, that's a trick right there. I'm sorry, Junior, I messed with you. Anyway, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So is there anything that we should not know that Jesus has said? Well, if it's in the Word, then we'll know. But what if Jesus has said things which isn't in the Word, which we know he did? It's because John said, if everything that he had said was written in books, the whole world couldn't contain it. So the Holy Spirit is going to teach us all things that pertain to who we are. It may not be all things that we're to teach to everybody else. See, one of the things we have to get over is that we don't know as much as we think we know. And this is tough, especially as you move in the ranks of leadership, because your knowledge and what you know ends up becoming your identity. Because of what you know, that makes me of significance. And especially for people that don't know as much as I know. Because if they don't know as much as I know, well, then I have an upper, not hand, but an upper, sometimes it's an upper hand, unfortunately, but I have an upper esteem that I can carry wrongly, though. Because we really don't know that much. Because God is infinite. God is beyond. Even the heavens that hold him right now, they can't hold him, it says. They can't contain him. And yet we think, mere earthlings, humans, that we can get to a place where we can truly communicate all about God to someone. What a vain thought. But the Holy Spirit, he will teach us all things. And I think the problem is Holy Spirit has taught many things to many people through the years. And those things have applied to their life. But then they think that those things that they know, everybody else needs to know those exact things the same way. And so what we have then is little nooks and little crannies that everybody fits into. And you have thousands of denominations because everybody has their own way that they believe in God. And their way is the right way. And that person's way over there is wrong. Mm-hmm. Anybody ever heard of that? But Holy Spirit will teach you and me, all things that we need to know. And maybe the all things that we need to know is very narrow. Because maybe all some people need to know is that God loves them. And that's all they need. Like Pat Coleman, she knew that she could trust God. That's all she needed, that she could trust him. That she was in his capable hands. And all the rest of the stuff was kind of almost noise to her. Right?
She had a gift.
She had a gift. Does that make sense? Or am I...
You're doing good.
Yes.
One other thing, though. I mean, the things that the Holy Spirit teaches us that we go through in life, when we share our what had happened to us, it usually touches another life.
Our experiences.
Yes, our
experiences. Yeah.
Exactly. So when you share your testimony from what the Holy Spirit did to you, it's really powerful to whoever else you touch.
Yes.
Right. That's good. Right. And again, I when I say, you know, making it so that the things that you know are, I guess, of lesser value. I'm not talking about your relationship or the way that he's worked in your life. No. And I guess what I'm trying to do is, and I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I'm trying to get us away from where we're always trying to indoctrinate each other. We're always trying to get people to believe the way that we believe. Because number one, it makes it hard to even communicate with people outside the church. Because if you're trying to convince them they need to believe the way that you believe and not find out where they're at, what's going on in their life, where's their heart, what do they even understand?
Right.
Instead of, you know, here's the truth that I know,
right,
and it is the truth, and I'm going to jam it down your throat so that you can receive it.
Yeah, I understand what Tim's saying, though, because had we not gone to the hospital and ministered to Angel and Lorena, you guys wouldn't be sitting here.
Right.
You guys wouldn't be sitting here. You guys back there wouldn't be sitting here. So I get what you're saying, that testimony is very powerful. But that
was an act of love.
That was an act of love, and that was an act of obedience on our part. But from that, God has been able to teach you guys some things, and you guys some things, and you guys some. So it's not that, because Lorena got into the habit of choking down everybody's throat. Oh, well, Gay says this, and Gay says that, and Gay says this, and Gay says that. And I'm said, stop doing that. I don't want you to do that. I'm like, you're putting me up on this gigantic pedestal that one day I'm going to fall down and I'm going to hit you and hurt you. I'm not going to mean to. It's not my intent to, but I'm human. God is the one that is teaching you. God is the one that is instilling in you. God is the one that's moving in your heart. I can say something and it touch you, but God's word is truth. My word, the way that I speak, It could be Gay's version of, but we need to know what God's version of is for our life.
Right.
That's our responsibility. Not. And so I get what you're saying. Testimonies are very important. They are powerful because they in themselves are what brings people to God.
Or ministry, praying for someone, yeah.
Yeah, well, when Stephen was ministering to Glenn at work, that's why Glenn and Lotta started going to churches, because of the healing that God did in Stephen as a baby. I mean, so testimonies are very important, but this is talking about if you ever need something, if you ever need to hear from God, you don't need to call one of us necessarily.
You can.
Everybody knows my phone. I tell everybody, I sleep with you right beside my bed. My phone is right there. If you need to talk to me, whether it be 3 in the morning, I really do not care. Call me. But you can go to God. You can speak to God. You can ask God for wisdom.
You can be taught by God.
You can be taught by God. How many of us have ever been speaking to someone else about the Lord or about encouraging them in the way, and something came out of your mouth and you're like, where did that come from? Like, you'd never been taught that, or you'd never, I mean, maybe you'd heard it in church, but it'd been so many years you couldn't name the person that said it to you, but it was a truth that really touched them. I mean, that's what we're talking about, is being taught by God and not setting your life on what you're hearing in church, but what you're reading in the Word and being taught by God Himself.
And one more thing?
Yes, sir, okay. Absolutely.
It's the truth that when you ask God for anything you do, and it's amazing, and then you get into His Word, how quick He will answer you. I mean, it's just amazing. It's some of the things that just recently that I've asked, it was like just
boom
that evening. Asked him the day of my walk, and that evening he puts me right to that scripture. And
that's amazing.
It just goes along with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's the faithfulness of God. I mean, you know, that really is. That That's so powerful when that happens. And so that needs to be, I think, most what's in our mind and in our hearts is even wanting to be taught by God. I mean, it's great to come and sit and listen to us shoot back and forth and all of that, but that's not what it's all about at all. It's this. It's the relationship I have with God. You hear it over and over and over again. Well, relationship has to be centered on truth. This, he says, I am the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
And that's a good point, because relationship does have to be centered on truth. Because when relationship is centered on lies or involves lies, then the relationship isn't true. Mm-hmm. It's a false relationship.
Right.
And he will guide you. This is the Holy Spirit into all truth. Know that he is the Spirit of truth. Holy Spirit isn't just the Spirit of power, not just the Spirit of the peace and might, but he's the Spirit of truth. Mm-hmm. And so we need to know the truth. Jesus said in another place, it's better for you that I go away, because he, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will come to you. Mm-hmm. And so we have everything we need. We have everything we need to be successful as Christians. Whether you went to another church or went to church again ever in your life, for whatever reason, let's say that you can't go to church anymore, for a weird law came down, and it's impossible to go to church. And some say, yay, no. but you can't go to church because it's against the law. And so what are you going to do? Well, let's say they outlaw your Bible. You can't, and you all, I've got my on my electronics. They cut it off. Well, now you don't have your Bible. You don't have, yeah. Oh, it's okay. Amen.
And that lady that we were referring to, she must have come to know, and I just love that story, come to know the love of God in such a way that nothing else satisfies.
Right.
That was the ultimate.
Yep. That's truth. Yeah, the kingdom of God is within us. And so whether they take everything from us that would be considered Christian, you know, the way to get the truth, the way to get knowledge, inside of us dwells the Holy Spirit. Inside of us dwells God, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because where one is, all three are there. Don't think that they're all spread out all over the place. When you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got all three. And so we have the full abundance of God dwelling in us. There's no lack. There's no lack of knowledge. There's no lack of love. He can't be taken away from us. We could be put in a cell and never see anybody again, and yet we would never be alone because he is with us.
Well, and that you say that, you know, if they turn off all electronics, take away all Bibles, chain lock every church. I love that the very last bit of that scripture of 14:26 says, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He will faithfully bring to our remembrance everything he's ever said to us. So we do have everything that we need.
Right.
Whether we get to look at the word again, or sit with one another again, or, you know, whatever, he will bring to our remembrance everything that we need.
Exactly. Sorry, I forgot to move that forward. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is Jesus saying, the Spirit takes what is Jesus, and he declares it to us. Now, this was spoken to the disciples, and some would say, well, that was for the disciples. That was for the apostles. That's not for us. No, this applies to us. He will take what has been given to Jesus and give it to us. 1 Corinthians. Oops, went too far. No, I went too far. Okay. 1 John 2:24-27.
Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. So they were trying to deceive individuals, and John is writing to these of that whether church or group. And so he says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And the anointing is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you do not need. Okay, so this is now John repeating exactly what I said. And you do not need that anyone teach you. Now, don't be all prideful now and go up to somebody. I don't need you to teach me. I'm telling you right now, the Holy Spirit's going to have a hard time teaching you with that kind of attitude. So we don't want to receive this in that kind of way. Like, oh, yeah, well, you can get all puffed up. We want to realize that in humility, in brokenness, in submission, God will teach us. And we don't need anyone to teach us. Now, you could say, well, Pastor Mike, then should I not even listen to you right now? La, 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 no, no. Right now, I'm communicating to the very best of my ability what the Lord's put in his word. And there's fallacy to it, because I'm still communicating from the experiences and the knowledge that I have. And so Holy Spirit's making up, hopefully, the difference right now, even as I'm communicating, that some things that I'm saying, you could come up to me later on and you could tell me what I said, because this has happened. I've had people come up to me after the message and say, when you said that, I said, I never said that. I did not say that. But I don't tell them that, because I know that through however the Holy Spirit is working, he spoke to them, mm-hmm. which is awesome, because kind of makes it so that you don't have to worry about being perfect, because I fail short of that a lot.
That just reminds me of a story when Pastor Kim was preaching, an angel in Lorena said, the angel said, did you hear Pastor Kim
speaking in tongues?
Yeah. And Lorena said, no, he wasn't. And he goes, yes, he was. And then they came back to church the next Sunday, and Pastor Kim did it again. And Angel went, see there? And she says, he's talking English. Like, Lorena was hearing it in English. But Angel wasn't hearing, he was hearing it in spirit. It's, God will speak to us the way that we need to hear it.
Exactly.
Whether it be through someone, or whether it be through the word, or through him, or in our spirit, God will get his message across. Have no fear. He will do it.
Have no fear.
God is here.
Okay. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. There's that all things again. Not some things, all things. And is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Did I get that one there? Did I miss one? I think I missed a scripture.
You did.
1 Corinthians. You're going to go back here. How did I miss that?
You went right by it.
Or is it not on there?
No, it's on. Well, it's on here. 1 Corinthians 1, 12 through 13.
Oh, I didn't update that. Sorry. Okay, well, I'm going to read another scripture so you guys can follow along. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth, is given to us so that we might know everything that God has given us. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the Holy Spirit, our teacher, the Spirit of Truth, will freely release to us all the things that have been given to us by God. Sorry. So, in conclusion, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God, that everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So, you are being taught by God all the time. Even when you don't think you're being taught by God, I believe God's teaching us. I believe when circumstances take place, Holy Spirit uses those moments in our lives to teach us. If we have a teachable spirit, like you said. If we're not looking to learn, if we think we've got it all figured out, if we've got a handle on everything and we don't need any input, then God can't force his way in.
Right.
But if we're open, he will take anything that happens in our lives and he will teach us. He will lead us into all truth. Amen.
That reminds me of a story. I just want to say, Johnny Erickson Tata, who is a lady that is a quadriplegic, and she's written many books, and she actually is a speaker and loves the Lord with all her heart. She she's part of the leading group in the Special Olympics. And when they were having the Special Olympics in Los Angeles area, her husband was actually teaching track and field. Well, all of these Special Olympians would come from all over the country to participate in L.A. And there was this one little guy that came with his team, and they were running a track and field event. And Johnny's husband was the main guy over the track and field. Well, this little one, you know, they're getting ready to start, and the gun goes off, and everybody starts running. Well, all of a sudden, he sees a dandelion in the middle of the green, and he starts running for the dandelion. And this little Down syndrome girl who has very thick glasses on, she's almost to the finish line. And Johnny's husband is yelling at the little boy, no, come back, you know, come back to the track. And he's not listening to him. He doesn't know his voice.
Mm-hmm.
But the little girl's getting ready to cross the finish line in first place. And she stops and she turns around and she says, Zachary. And Zachary stops because he recognized her voice. And he turned around and he looked at her, and she said, came trotting over to him, you're going the wrong way. And she links arms with him and takes him back to the track. And they are the last ones to finish the race. But they receive a standing ovation. Well, the reason he stopped going for the dandelion is because he recognized her voice. We have to recognize the voice of God within us. I mean, he teaches us all things, and we have to recognize that voice and the other voices that are speaking into our lives that are not speaking truth, that are not speaking life, that are obviously against the Word of God and God's very own heart and his spirit. We have to recognize the difference. The little boy could care less that Johnny's husband was yelling at him.
Even though he's a coach.
Because he'd come from another part of the country. But when his friend, God is our friend, he loves us with an everlasting love. When his friend spoke to him, he stopped looking at the dandelion and he turned back to his best bud. And she came toward him and him toward her, and she helped him finish the race. You guys, God is going to help us finish the race.
Amen.
Recognize his voice. Listen to it. Understand that he has the very best in life for you. And sometimes when we get off track by that dandelion or whatever is taking our view, listen. Just listen for your friend's voice. The Holy Spirit speaking, saying, no. Don't go for the dandelion. The goal is over here. Finish line's right over here. Link arms with him and cross the finish line. And it doesn't matter if you cross first or if you cross last. You cross.
Amen.
Amen.
Well said. Does anyone else have anything?
I'm okay.
Okay, he's okay.
I have to say a lot. I spoke to the security guard at Walmart. I let him know that he was one of the topics of one of our services. And he wanted me to tell you thank you. God bless you, or God bless you, have a good day. Some people appreciate it. Some people need it. Some people don't want it. But he says he feels obligated to make sure somebody at least gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he said thank you, and one day he might end up popping up there.
Oh, cool. Anyone else? Well, praise the Lord. What you said, though, about the foundation of relationships being based on truth, I think that's something that is a key that we all need to remember, because I know for me at different times in my life with God, my relationship wasn't being based on truth. It was being based on, well, fear sometimes, guilt, and other times, you know, just the tradition, which ended up sometimes being lies. Yeah. And it seems like the more that I come to the truth, the reality of God's love and who he is, the easier it is to have a relationship with him. That I'm not at odds in my own heart. You know, obviously, go ahead.
No.
Vicki, you have something? You have something?
Well,
you're like,
you know, I was raised in a Baptist church. You know, my mom sent us to church as a safety net. But we always grew up being white. And then when I went to Pentecostal church, the old fashioned one, I ran out of it because it was just not my thing. But one thing that we had always been taught was that the Acts of the Apostles were dead.
Mm.
And so me, when I finally grasped that truth that they are not dead, that we are able, you know, to do the same thing they
did. Even greater, yeah.
It was an amazing thing. It made me feel, it helped break that fear thing of me.
Yeah.
The Lord,
yeah.
You know, like, you know, because I was always afraid, well, why do I believe the way I believe that they are telling me?
Right.
Yeah.
If the Bible's telling us that, it's not for now. And so there was kind of a fear in me a lot, you know, thinking, well, why do I believe that there is when there isn't?
Right.
You know?
That makes sense.
We're not all going to learn at the same speed.
Right.
How boring would that be? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to all learn the things of God at the same time. And because it may be rhema to one, but not to the other. It's just a word.
Well, we may not even learn it the same way.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like,
God,
you know,
is so personal.
Yeah. God is not an algebra problem.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you know to move the X over here and divide the one into this, you know, you get the right answer. Because he's not an algebra. Bless you guys.
Bye,
love you.
Guys. Love you.
He's not going to be figured out. Let me just give you guys a final statement. You cannot figure out God. He can't be figured out. He's beyond understanding. Just his love is beyond understanding, much less him himself. And so knowing that should give you some ease, that you don't have to figure God out. You're not going to figure him out, so don't try to. But get to know him, just like you get to know a friend. I can't figure Gay out, and she's... I've been married, we're going on 25 years. I can't. I mean, just when I think I've got you all figured out, you change because you do something different. What? Because we grow. And it's part of it is that I'm changing. And as I change, it changes the dynamics of our relationship. She may not even change, but I'm changing. And so keep in mind that as we learn more about ourselves and about how God made us, it will change the dynamics of our relationship with him. But our relationship needs to be based on truth. And you have the truth because the Spirit of truth lives in you. Yep. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for being the one that is leading and guiding us into all truth. And so we're all just going to confess right now that we are all being taught by God.
And Lord, we want to continue to have humble hearts, continue to surrender, Lord, to the truth when it's revealed to us. And help us, Lord, to not just be hearers, but Lord, that we would follow through, Lord, with the truth that is revealed to us and be doers, Lord, of that word that's spoken to our heart. I just bless everyone here today, Lord, with an abundance, Lord, of the truth of God in their lives, afresh and anew, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Love you guys. Have a good week.